Well, at least three Afghan civilians have been killed in a United States drone strike in the country's east. Authorities say the drone missile hit the Baraki Barak district of Logar province on Monday. Local officials have confirmed the airstrike and say the victims are all teenagers under the age of 16. They say the teenagers were working in the fields when they were targeted. A similar air raid by the U.S.-led military forces killed four Afghan children in the same region late October. Well, to discuss this further, we're going to be joined by Iraq War veteran Michael Prisner from Los Angeles via Skype. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Prisner. Now, killing of civilians, specifically children, is becoming quite a habit of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan, isn't it now?
Well, it's a little more than a habit. In fact, it's the status quo for U.S. drone strikes that are being carried out against people of Afghanistan and Pakistan and many other countries. We actually know by the Pentagon's own numbers that for every so-called terrorist that the United States drones kill, it kills 49 civilians. And that's about a 2% success rate for these drone strikes, killing people they label terrorists. And the White House also says that of the people that they label terrorists, one of which is killed for every 49 civilians, about 90% of those so-called terrorists are what the White House labels low-level terrorists, meaning that there's actually not any evidence that they pose any risk to the United States or any security concern at all, just that they have some kind of relationship to people who are being targeted. And we also know that the White House says that one in three drone strikes that take place in Iraq and Afghanistan kills a child. And so these statistics are out there in the open. They're acknowledged by the Pentagon and by the White House. And so what we're seeing is that drone strikes themselves are not existing without the death of about 49 civilians every so-called target that is supposed to hit.
Now, it's no secret that the U.S. is looking to maintain a strategic presence in Afghanistan beyond the 2014 deadline. It's looking to sign some form of a bilateral agreement. Also, NATO has underlined that it will stay in Afghanistan if asked to do so by the Afghan government. Considering these night raids are going to continue, these drone strikes are going to continue, and clandestine operations are going to continue with massive civilian debt toll, what's going to happen in Afghanistan?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, the White House is kind of scratching its head over why it is losing so badly in Afghanistan, why Afghans and people from Pakistan from all walks of life, all corners of the country, are rising up against the occupation. I mean, drone strikes like this show very clearly why people have grown to hate the U.S. and NATO forces in that country. But right now, if the United States does, in fact, withdraw military forces by the end of 2014, as President Obama has promised, that will not be because the U.S. government wants to leave Afghanistan. This is because they have been pushed out by the resistance force. The plan that we're seeing in Afghanistan right now by the United States is really what is a slow-motion retreat. They admit that they have lost the war, that they cannot win, that they're going to pave their exit with the blood and limbs of countless innocent people and countless U.S. soldiers while they make that retreat to avoid some political fallout or to stay safe. But of course, they're going to be very desperately, as that recently happened, trying to find some way to attain some of its goals in the region, meaning maintaining some military presence or some client-type control over politicians. They do not want to abandon that country. They do not want to abandon that region. But the way the resistance forces are right now in the country, they are forcing the U.S. forces to leave. But no doubt we'll see attempts by the U.S. government, just like we did when the Iraq War was ending, attempts to do whatever they could to extend it as long as possible.
All right. That was Iraq War veteran Michael Prisner there joining us via Skype from Los Angeles. Mr. Prisner, it was a pleasure having you here on Press TV.